Today on the show, we meet mysterious figures, learn the rules, and start down on a path that will change our lives forever. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and themes behind some of our favorite universes. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Kevin.
And here we are on episode 3 of Andor. They challenged us a little bit by releasing 3 episodes in 1 week, but jokes on them, we managed to push through and get all these podcast episodes out for you guys.
Hell yeah. And boy, oh boy, was this episode good. I mean, I definitely think it put a nice little bow or, you know, a cherry on top, if you will. Like, I think this episode was... I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, I think this sets up everything else. And I think I remember I was talking to some people offline and they were saying like, man, I only watched the first episode. And I was like, that was a mistake because the first episode, you should think of the first 3 episodes as one larger episode.
Yeah.
And I like, if you think of the mindset that way, then you just get so much more enjoyment out of Andor. And I think this is like the finale of the first 3. I don't know if we're getting multiple episodes every week. I'm pretty sure it's just one a week from here on out. But
yeah.
But man, what an episode to start the schedule off with.
I know. So like all the other episodes, we're going to do our brief synopsis and kind of go around and talk about what happens in the episode. You know, sprinkle in little fun here and there, some lore or whatnot. And then we're going to go into some more detail later on. But first... we have some housekeeping. You know the drill. We love to hear from you guys, our listeners. Hopefully you're listening. You're still listening. Email us, podcast@loreparty.com. We love getting emails from everybody. We read them. We literally read them. We love them. They're great. And people have been sending episode ideas and, you know, they send us questions and we try to answer them. So definitely send us an email as well as follow Jaden here at Mr. Jad J, MrJadJay on Instagram and Twitter, because he's got banter that you have no idea. His Star Wars banter online is great.
I appreciate the lying of my casual shit posts on my behalf. No, I really appreciate
they're great.
That.
They're so good.
And then you can find Mr. Kevin here at In The Loop. That's IN_THE_LUPE on Twitter and Instagram, and give him a follow. He too has some fun takes on various things that interest him that you might be interested in as well.
Yeah. I know some people were curious about my Instagram and Twitch because my Instagram and Twitch are at, so my Instagram is @K_loops, like LOOPS. Because I'm terrible at branding myself, I did K Loops, but with a Z for Twitch. And people were like,
"Oh, you're the worst.
Why do you have so bad?" I'm like, I know. I need to consolidate. I got to change it around.
But that's for another day. Today, we're talking about Andor and the finale of the first 3 episodes.
Now, seriously, this is the mega spoiler episode, in my opinion. So
yes.
just chill. Don't listen to this episode yet. Watch the episodes, then listen to our other episodes, and then listen to this episode, because literally, like, everything happens in this episode. This is a big
Absolutely.
One, so we warned you. All right, now we're going to get into it. Okay, cool.
Yes. All right, so we begin our journey with the young Cassian. He's climbing into the ship, as we saw him in the previous episode. He's making his way through the ship, and he's passing a bunch of corpses, and again... They're CIS. They're you know, but we'll get to that in a second because that was my big takeaway from the episode. And a door opens and it looks like a control room, and Cassian sees his own reflection on the console, and that makes him really angry. So he starts smashing the wall, which I'm wondering if that's the first time he's ever seen his own reflection in like anything, because they seem to be very low tech when the episode starts.
I think I remember we were talking about this even outside of podcast stuff, that these kids clearly have been there for a really long time. They have a bunch of high tech, but they don't use it like that. They use it as, you know, super low tech, which I think is actually kind of cool. But yeah, they don't know how any of this shit works. They clearly don't know.
No, which is very interesting timeline wise. Hopefully we'll get a greater explanation of that later. We cut back to present day where Cassian, he's at the junkyard and there's a crew of workers. They're taking apart old ships. This is kind of similar to what we saw with Cal Kestis at the beginning of Jedi Fallen Order. This must be another like planet crushing, shipyard or whatever.
I'm so excited about this. This makes me so pumped.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. Brasso, he walks over and Cassian tells Brasso, like, hey, I'm leaving. Like, yeah, I think this is what it seems like. They always, Cassian disappears from time to time. But I think this is like, oh, no, I'm gone. Like, I gotta go.
I thought it was interesting that he just, like, he takes all this time. You know, he has an hour, remember? Like, he's like, I have an hour until I leave. He has an hour and he takes his time to go to Brasso and is like, yo, bro, I'm out. Just want to say later. And then, like, the conversation's, I don't know what, 10 seconds. And then he just turns around and is like, yeah, take care of Marva. See you later. Bye. Boom.
He's like, Marva, I'll leave money with Marva. Money is going to be at Marva's. Like, what I owe you is there.
And they always say, like, oh, tell Marva to turn the heat on. And like, all that's like a running gag. You keep hearing people say that, which I thought was really funny.
And again, I like how this is something that Star Wars has needed for a long time. Like, this very much feels like slice of life, like very simple.
Yeah.
These are not like, world changing powers here. These are just like people living their lives. And I really do like that. And the fact that they're about to be absorbed into like a larger conspiracy is very cool too.
Yeah. And so after this little short scene, we see Luthen again is coming out of the transport that he was on earlier, where he was, conversing with that old dude, that little gentleman guy. And what's really funny is he made a friend. Like, in the last episode, he's like, oh, God, not this guy's trying to talk to me. And then, like, they're getting off of the transport and they're like chatting it up, laughing. And I'm like,
if you're ever in the system, let me know.
He's like, oh, mind your wallet, buddy. He's like, oh, thanks. See you later. Like, I thought that was really cool. But as soon as he gets off, he walks down the street or whatever, and Bix sees him, and Bix is like, yo, here's what's going on with Cassian. And he obviously already knows. He knows everything. And he's like, well, has anybody found out about him? Like, what? He starts kind of going through the checklist. Same thing kind of like Marva did. Like, who knows what?
Yep.
He clearly is like, okay, I think he may have been identified. Like, he can kind of figure it out. And he's like, all right, so we're going to have to be quick about this. And then right then and there, you see a cut of Karn and his men. They come out of hyperspace and they start, like, making their way to land on the planet.
Yeah.
And I like how he's so able to just figure things out so quickly with just the little bit of information he gets.
Well, and you get the sense that he's been doing this a while. Like, this is just another contact mission for him.
Yep.
Which I really like that aspect of his character. And B2 Emo, I love how we're calling him B2 Emo, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He's going through the town, and then it cuts to a younger, more not so broken looking B2 Emo.
Yeah.
And he's going through the same ship that Cassie was exploring while on Canary. And we even run to a young Marva, and then we run to another man named Clem. And they're going through the ship, and clearly Marva is the one in charge. Like, that has stayed consistent throughout her character showing up, is that she's the one in charge, which I love that. They hear Cassian making noise, and she only notices the fuel modules that they can scrap. They find Cassian, they walk in, and they find Cassian, like, beating the crap out of the room, and then he gets really scared when B2 Emo says there's a Republic frigate approaching into orbit.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny how, like, she hears Cassian make a noise. He hears it. Like, Clem's just like, oh my God, we gotta go. And she's like, look at all that stuff we could get. Oh, wow. Like, she's just like, doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, anyway.
Yeah, she's like, oh, anyway, those fuel modules, that'll make us a lot of money. Like, she's obviously like a scrapyard person or like a smuggler in some way. That's kind of clear right then and there. So after this scene, we now go to a quick back and forth between present day and the past, and then like two events simultaneously. This is when the episode gets a lot of like boom, 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 boom with everything going on.
Yeah, it picks up speed very quickly.
Yeah, so just keep in mind, we're going to go like really rapid with this to try to like, keep you in the tension too. Because honestly, it builds up a lot of tension for both situations, and they kind of become like a parallel thing eventually. You'll know.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. The wheels keep spinning real quick in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. So the way it starts is now Karn and his men, they're now on the planet. And the locals, everybody kind of sees it. Brasso's there. They clearly are not happy about these guys being there. And Brasso's kind of concerned. He's like, ah, shit, what the hell? And Cassian is now closing the doors to like this abandoned building that he went to. It's like an old factory. And he's waiting there for Luthen. And then all of a sudden we cut back to the past and we see Marva's trying to communicate with Cassian. She then is like, all right, I'm going to knock this kid out. She knocks him out and then she takes him with her.
As any loving mother would do.
I know, but that whole section right there, that's the span of like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it was boom, 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 super fast.
So then we cut back to an older Marva opening the door to Karn, and Karn has a warrant. Which is like, oh shit, net has finally closed. Like, they're getting, that's how close they are.
Yep.
And Bix is talking to Tim, and Tim looks kind of nervous. And meanwhile, Karn and his men are like ransacking Marva's house. And they find B2EMO, and Karn tries to interrogate the droid, but the only thing it does is call out Marva's name, which is really funny.
Oh, I thought it was sad. I'll get into this whole part.
That's all he gets. He's like, I know. He's like, just Marva. Like, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
Very much Eeyore moment.
I know. It's sad.
See, then it gets, for me, what I didn't think was funny was when Karn's like, he threatens to pull a power supply, and he's like, no.
All right, we'll get into this later about this scene. This is probably, I think it's a really nice scene, but it's like nice in terms of like, it makes me like this droid so much. But anyway, continue.
Yeah. Marva then says, don't be scared. But Karn asserts his authority and is like, no, you shut up. Like, he's trying to play the role that he's put upon himself for a long time now, where it's like he's the gruff security officer, but he's not.
He's playing dress up, if you will, with his, authority.
Yeah.
I mean, he yells. He's like, tell her to shut up. And like, they grab her and put their hand over her mouth. Like, she's clearly like suffocating. Like, it was bad. And so like right after when this happens, all of a sudden B2EMO is like unknowingly getting a communication from Cassian. And it's like, tell Marva, I'm sorry. Make sure she turns the heat on, like stuff like that. And you can tell like B2EMO's like, ah, shit. Like the droid is like, uh-oh. They clearly like all of a sudden, they trace him. They know where he's at. And they look outside as they're about to leave. And obviously a crowd is outside. A shit ton of people are outside. And they're getting a little bit rowdy. And so all of a sudden we see these people. They're all out there. And then it cuts. And we just see Luthen just show up to where Cassian's at in this like abandoned factory thing. Then all of a sudden it cuts back to the crowd outside the house, and they're screaming and yelling at the team as they're trying to make their way through. And the sergeant's like, oh, we're just doing our job. We got a warrant. Yep. That's all. And like people are yelling like, she's just an old woman, stuff like that. Like everybody's just going nuts. They're like, leave her alone and all this. Then all of a sudden Bix's brother, the little guy, the younger brother, he sees what's going on. He's like watching this, and then he sees who comes out of the house, and then he's like, oh shit. And so he runs over to his father while Karn and his men, they just kind of begin their way now to Cassian.
Yep. They start to spread out a little bit too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yep.
Trying to cut off all avenues of his escape. Meanwhile, we cut to Luthen finally shows up to meet Cassian. Cassian's like just trying to like, hey, let's sell this item as quick as I can.
Yeah.
I want to get out, I'm trying to get out of here. But Luthen keeps like testing him.
Yeah.
He's not even like, it's like this item, for Cassian, it's like, it's his ticket home. But this guy's like, he doesn't seem to give a shit about the item at all.
Well, they start like bartering for information about each other.
Yeah.
Which is as like almost like a form of currency to get this box, which honestly, the box at this point, Cassian, I don't think, doesn't realize that the box doesn't fucking matter.
No, the box is the least of his want or worry. He's like, I'd rather know how you got it, which was, I was like, ooh, interesting. Why is that relevant?
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I think that set off alarm bells in Cassian's head, because it's like, why is this random dude who showed up asking me about how I got this thing? Because like, that's cop 101 right there, to try to ascertain how, this item was stolen. While this is all happening too, Bix's dad runs over to Bix in the shop saying, hey, the corpos are looking for Cassian. And that makes that like sets alarm bells off in her head. And she's like, well, who would have told, you know, who would have told them about Cassian? She begins to leave, and then they find Tim walks over to stop her, and he slips up, and she's like, oh, this dude ratted him out.
Yeah.
Like, as she's leaving, she calls him out on it, and he starts to chase after her.
Yeah. And she's pissed, too. She's like,
oh, yeah.
Somebody ratted him out. Like, she's trying to think about it. Like, her dad knows stuff, but her dad's, like, obviously not the person who did it. And while she's about to leave, that's, like, when Tim's been staring at her the whole time. The way he slips up is he's like, let him go. And she's like, who? How do you know what I'm talking about? And then that's when she's just like, this motherfucker.
This dude right here.
Yeah, he messed up big time. And I think this is when he realizes, And so all of a sudden, then we cut back. Luthen is now testing Cassian. So he just keeps asking questions like, how'd you get it? You know, why are you so willing to go in a hurry? What's going on? And then when he says, like, I want to know how you got this thing, he offers Cassian more money to tell him how he got it. And Cassian's like, yeah, sure, okay. And then he's like, here, boom, 1,000 credits, and just throws it at him. Like, it's just like nothing. He's like, yeah, come on, let's go. And Cassian's like, And yeah, what he says...
That's, again, where he's like, whoa, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Like, you're not the normal guy who buys my shit.
Yeah, pretty much. And Cassian's just like, okay, fine. And so Cassian says he just pretended to belong. He just went with, you know, what was going on. And Cassian just kind of keeps going on and on, trying to get Luthen to leave. He's like, come on, like, let's go already. And Luthen then calls out Cassian. He says that, you know, if they find him with this part, they will hang him. Like, because they have this, like, whole, like, conversation. Luthen's like, if they find me, not Cassian, well, both of them, honestly, but Luthen's like, if they find me with this part, they're going to hang me. And then he just turns and goes, yeah, just like your father. And Cassian, as soon as this happened, whips out his weapon, points it right at him, and is like, who the fuck are you? How do you know anything about me? So that's a kind of a hint. Like, I guess maybe his father was hung. I don't know. Maybe it was the other dude who was with Marva. We don't know.
That seems to be like, I seem to believe that would be it. Like the dude, because if Marva's still around, then that would explain.
Yeah. But it's wild. It gets really tense in that room because Cassian's like pissed. He's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Who are you? What? He pretty much does a John Krasinski, you know, Jim meme. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is going on? And so Luthen kind of explains how he knows Cassian. He did his research. He knows who this guy is. He even says, he's like, yeah, sure, I want the box. Yeah, the box is cool, but I want you to join me instead. Like, I want you. I came here for you.
Yep.
Not really the box. The box is like a bonus, but like, it doesn't have to be there. I want
you. I can get that box. I can't get you.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And then now we get to my favorite part of the episode, which I love. The locals, they all start scattering and they keep saying like, corpos are here. Corpos are here. So then they take pieces, they take like metal pipes and start just banging on what look like wind chimes hanging on their like doors. But it turns out it's like a rudimentary alarm system to just let everyone know like, hey, you know, cops are here. Everybody scatter. Like if you're doing something illegal, fucking stop it and run. The entire time, like all the corporals are like, what the hell's going on? And they're just like, the entire city is basically alive with passive resistance to their presence there. And it's so interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So at the same time, like Luthen and Karn are both like, what is that noise? Like, you know, what's going on outside? And the sergeant's like, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. And Cassian starts asking more questions like, you know, where's your ship? Like, how do we, you know, what's your plan to get out of here? And one of Luthen's devices starts to beep and he realizes that Cassian's holding a comm link, which they can track.
Yup.
And that's how they're, you know, following them to that location. So he takes the comm and he smashes it. And then the door starts making noises and Cassian realizes, oh crap, we are fucking surrounded.
Yeah, it's pretty like intense right then and there. Luthen's not pissed really. I mean, he's annoyed, but he's like, he's still calm mostly throughout the situation, which is pretty crazy to me. Clearly he has done this before.
Yeah, this is like, it's like, you know, this is, it's not ideal, but it's not top 10 situations that I've been in that are bad.
And I doubt these are the guys that like are the worst ones he's ever fought to. So,
well, you gotta remember, like, this isn't even the Empire. These are corpos. These are just fucking, you know, 9-to-5 goons.
Chump change.
Yeah, this is, this is, This is mall cops versus SWAT team.
Oh, if you called a car and a mall cop, I'm pretty sure he'd be pissed.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not. I'm not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're really not. So after this part, we cut to Bix, and she's running through the town trying to find Cassian, and then she comes across some corpos, and she turns. She sees them. She's like, ah, shit, and she turns around, and they're like, hold on a second, not running home, are you? Like they like catch her, and they make her stop, and they use gunpoint. Like they put her up at gunpoint, and they make her stop, and. Then we go back, and nobody's moved in on Luthen and Cassian. Luthen says that he's clearly like, you know, they're waiting for reinforcements. Like they're gonna be fine. And so they start kind of planning their escape. And he's like, I need a speeder. And Luthen is like, okay, where can we get a speeder? And they kind of talk about where they could go. And then Luthen decides, all right, fuck this, and he blows up the front door that he came through, that one that Cassian closed earlier. He's like, all right, let's go, and he has like a little way out the back, like in like the back furnace area, and he's like, let's go. And Cassian's like, the box, we need the box, and he won't leave it alone, man. Like no. he just needs that box, and they start getting.
I think in his mind, Cassian doesn't really understand what's going on here. He still thinks that the guy's only here for the box.
Yeah.
Like, even if the guy's like, nah, leave it. He's like, no, you don't understand. Like, if our transaction is done and you're not going to buy this thing from me, I still can sell it to someone else.
Exactly. He doesn't realize what's really going on. I do think the box will play. We'll talk about this later, but I think the box has a thing. We'll talk. Anyway, they start getting shot at now. A bunch of the dudes that were at the front door, they're basically out. They're either dead, knocked out. We see one of them fall and everything, and they're a mess. But some of the guys were in the rafters, and they start shooting at them. All of a sudden, because the explosion went off, pieces of debris start falling from the ceiling. They were all hanging.
Oh, yeah. So they're basically like those gears hanging up in the ceiling with the chains on them.
Think like a bunch of engines and transmissions hung by chains.
Yeah.
Just, that's it. That's all it is. And they all just start falling.
All at once. It's such a cool sequence.
They start going nuts. And Luthen is like, bro, forget the fucking box. I don't care about the box.
What are you, an idiot? We got to get out of here.
I know. And clearly he's showing like, all I care about is you. Let's go.
You're worth like 10 boxes.
Yeah.
So Cassian ultimately decides like, okay, fine. You know what? I can't get to it. There's too much fire, too much interference. They kill everyone in the facility too. So they're able to get away. But Karn and his men are headed there, and they radio for assistant. So the men who are holding Bix, they just handcuff her to a wall, and they're like, we'll come back for her later. But as they're doing that, Tim runs over to do his best like, oh shit, I fucked up. Let me try to help. Run, and they shoot him. Which I think everyone watching was like, yay, Tim got his comeuppance. Which is like, nah, that's a little harsh for him.
Fuck that guy. He's the reason. He's one of the reasons why all this shit's happening. Fuck Tim.
True. The guy who was in charge, he takes the gun from the guy who shot Tim. He's like, get the hell out of here. What are you doing? Like, we're not supposed to shoot people. And then he's like, yeah, go back to the ship and get ready for leave. And it's not out of compassion. It's more of out of like, fuck, that's paperwork we got to do now.
Yeah, right.
So he tells him to go get the ship and get him ready to leave.
I think also he was kind of like, you could see in both of their faces, like, oh shit, that was a mistake. You accidentally, like, I don't want to say he was trigger happy, but like, I think he was just scared. And I don't think they all were in a situation like this before. Like, I don't think they have a lot of experience. Like, obviously they like tried to look like they did when they were in the ship in the last episode, but I don't think these guys have.
Well, this is a Black Hawk Down situation. Like they're in the middle of enemy territory.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like there is not much that if the city decided to rise up and swarm them, there is nothing they could have done.
True.
The guy, he takes the rifle from the other guys, you know, chastises him like, hey, you know, what the fuck was that? What are you, you know, get the hell out of here. Go get the ship ready and give us cover from the air. And they just leave Bix hanging from the wall, just staring at her dead lover. And I was like, damn, Star Wars.
You know what?
A little dark.
Fell in love with the wrong guy. Guy's a snitch.
Yeah, that's true. Watching too much Sopranos, I'd be like, yeah, that's what you get. There's only one guy left from that original attack group, like chasing Cassian and Luthen. And he tells him that there's two now, not one, which Karn's like, whoa, what? You can see in his head, he's like, I didn't prepare for two. I was prepared for one.
Yeah, and you can see Sarge is like, ah, shit.
Yep. Well, because now the sergeant's like, oh, shit, is there like a, you know, conspiracy in this shithole town?
Well, they're going in their heads. They're like making up all these wackadoo scenarios. You can tell. And it's like, nah, bros. Literally what that one dude said in episode one happened. Like, it's what's not a conspiracy. And so Karn is freaking out, and basically they decide to split up the team and they're going to ambush Cassian. We see Brasso walking away from the ship that Karn landed in. We just see him just walking away. That's all.
Just casually.
Just walking away. And then the pieces are all in motion. Marva is now talking to the guards in her house. Now, when I say pieces are now in motion, I mean it. Like, this is like a whole board of things just happen. Marva is talking to the guards in her house while all of a sudden the tapping in the town just stops. Like, she's talking shit, freaking them out and stuff. And
one
then
by one, they just fall silent.
They just get super quiet. And this whole time, this whole buildup, like, the pieces are moving for Karn's team and everything, you know, the tension, you're freaking out. You got this noise that doesn't stop the entire time. Bang, 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 bang. Like, it's not stopping. That whole sequence doesn't stop. It stops right now. And it's dead silent.
Dead quiet.
Karn walks into a house. Well, house shop, can't even get in, has to like shoot the door to get it open because he's a wuss. And all of a sudden these aliens are in there and he shoots at them because he's a little bitch
scared.
And he's like, ah! And he, you know, yeah, shoots at them. And he gets in the house, like kind of like sitting there, like trying to figure out what's going on. And then all of a sudden, a gun right behind him, and it's Cassian. And they start to try to interrogate him. Cassian is like, you know, how many are there? And Karn's like, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, Luthen's just like, just kill him. And you could see Karn just be like, huh? And then
that meme, oh, kill him.
Yeah, literally. And then Luthen's like, I'll do it. Never mind. Like, you don't have to do it. And Cassian's like, what the fuck, bro? Like, hold on a second. And Luthen's like, nah, get rid of him. And Karn just folds, completely folds, tells them everything.
Yep.
How many there are, all that stuff.
Which you gotta wonder, was that Luthen's intent, or was he always like, yeah, just kill him?
I think he was just like, just kill him, just fucking kill him. Bro.
I do too. But like, hey man, did that work out? Like, Cassian's restraint.
Yep.
You know, you let the guy live for a couple of minutes and he gives you everything that you're looking for? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The guy who was told to bring the ship, he gets back to the ship. He turns on all the switches and knobs, and he starts to get ready to take off. And all of a sudden, we see what Brasso was doing by the ship. He tied like a giant metal rope to the back of it, and the ship gets stuck.
Yeah, we'll say stuck in quotes.
It's like he's like trying to take off, but it's just like it's keeping the ship in place. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's more than just casual resistance, by the way. That's active sabotage.
That is active sabotage, and it's awesome.
Not only does, like the sabotage, like, cause the delay, this thing actually, like, crashes into one of the big scaffoldings. It just blows up. It's just like, that must have been terrifying for the soldiers on the ground. It's like, hey, our only evac is gone.
Well, Sarge even realizes he's, like, freaking out. He's like, they're everywhere. The enemy's everywhere. He, like, starts freaking out.
Which, again, this whole guerrilla thing is like, they're lucky that they were just facing two guys. Could you imagine if there was actually a rebel strike team?
Oh, they would not even have landed.
No. And that makes me think too, you know, I wonder if the rebels are on these guys' radar. Like they've heard stories of like the rebel boogeyman out there, you know, these terrorists causing problems, or if it's, you know, this, cause this might just be way over their head, you know? So while this is going on, Cassian and Luther find speeders in a garage, and they, meanwhile, one of the guards finds Karn tied up, which I bet he was like, wow, this guy's actually alive?
Yeah, right.
And this, I really did like this sequence too. It's the soldiers are all set up in position, you know, overwatch, overlooking the scene, and all of a sudden, the speeder with like the armored plating on the outside of it just shoots out of the of the garage, and they all start firing at it wildly. And for a brief second, they think they got it because the ship like explodes and like flips over and crashes. And they're all like, yeah, we did it. Go team security guards. We got this done. And then Cassian and Luther, they fucking blow up the ship and drive out on their speeder bikes. Well, on a speeder bike.
Well, that's the funny thing, too, is like they found these speeders, you know, where they're kind of figuring out what their plan is. And Cassian's like, do you still have those explosives? You could see how fast they came up with this plan.
Yep.
Which to me is whack. Like, that was so fast. And clearly, like, obviously Cassian has done some wackadoo shit like this before.
Because yeah, if he this was is able not to, his first time. Know,
yeah, definitely.
Which, again, is why Luthen wants him. Because he can tell that there's skill there. Because, like, yep. He didn't think of that. He, you know, that wasn't even on his mind to blow up yep. the speeder bike.
Yeah. And what's funny, we'll get into it, but, like, you know, when they were like, oh, my God, we won. And then it's like, no. Boom. And so after that, we see the last sequence and we see Cassian escaping and we get this great montage of just everyone. We see a young Marva taking him into her ship and then we see the old Marva crying. We see B2EMO just kind of being sad. We see Bix finally getting released and then she tries to hug a dead Tim and just gets grabbed and they're like, nope, gotta go. We gotta move. He just, you know, we see a dead Tim. Rasso, he's just sitting like at home drinking, just sitting there thinking about like, what did I do? What did I do? We see the sergeant screaming at Karn, who's in one of those like, you know, weird phased moments where he's just standing there. He barely hears anything and he's like, what the fuck? And then a stellar comparison of a young and old Cassian escaping both the planets that pretty much held them captive.
Yes. They're finally free to start their new journey, whatever that may be.
And we see the young Marva look back to an old Cassian. And that's episode 3. That's
such
it.
A good ending.
Oh, so good. It was so great. I'm really excited to like just jump into it. I want to like screw the ads, man. Let's just do it. No, we have to do an ad break.
Yeah, we have to do ads. They'll yell at us. Daddy Corporate will yell at us.
Yeah. Oh, the corpos. Ah. So we are going to take a quick break. Hold on a second. Just wait a second. And we will be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, we are back. Boy, do we have thoughts.
Absolutely.
I have so many thoughts.
I think this episode sets the perfect tone. As I said earlier in the episode, you know, you had to watch all three, I think, in succession to really get the full weight of what was happening. Yep. But I think once you did that, that was absolutely worth it. I think that this episode was a great start to a series that I was already in love with. Like, it just...
Yeah.
The stakes are way more personal. This is not one guy against empire. This is one guy just trying to survive. You know, the empire is not even on the radar. They're going to be the end boss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the perfect tone that you need to set. Because we've had storylines with Star Wars where it's big and bold and, you know, fleets of ships flying. But it's like, I think there's going to be like one or two ships, you know, running around. Like, this is going to be... such a cool, more self-contained story. And I love that.
What a great beginning of a D&D campaign, I thought. I thought it was great.
That's so funny because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, everything fell into place. Personally, this was the episode. This was the one. The one that I think brought the first three episodes all together. For me, it felt kind of like a mini movie, like a perfect ending to the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, I loved the tension throughout the entire episode, and obviously that ultimate buildup I thought was great. But there were a couple things that stood out for me. So, like, I'm a sucker for droids. We all know this. Jaden, you're a sucker for droids. We love droids. I think that interaction with B2 Emo being scared, like, actually showing emotion. He literally yells Marva's name, and then says no, like it's real emotion to me. That was something that I found super interesting. The droid just it clearly exhibits emotions and was actually frightened. It doesn't feel like a droid.
It's just an old man who just wants to chill, feed his space birds.
Literally, it was weird. I mean, like, obviously we've seen like C-3PO and having emotions, but this didn't feel like a, you know, oh no, you know, like it didn't feel like a C-3PO emotion. This felt more real. I don't know. Yep. I don't know. Like, it didn't feel like Uncanny Valley emotion. It felt actually like real fear. So yeah. I thought that was cool. I love what they're doing with the droids. I'm here for it. I did think the part where Karn finally thought he won was absolutely hilarious.
Beautiful.
Oh my God. Beautiful. It was so funny because the music even is like, we did it. And it felt like that meme, you know, like zooming in and being like smiling, like, yeah, yeah, like we did, like that. Please make that a meme.
Good news,
that was,
Patrick, we saved the city.
Oh my God. It was so funny. And it was fast. It was like instant, like, oh, we, you know, we won. And then it's like, nope, bitch. And they're like, wait,
no,
what?
No, you did not.
Tim dying, that was great. Good riddance. Fuck that guy. I think the actor did a great job.
No love for Tim.
Fuck that guy. Honestly, I actually think it would be better if Tim didn't die, if he, like, survived.
For the story, probably would have been. Maybe he could die later. I think this might have been premature to kill him off.
I don't know. I think, like, you know, you get what you deserve, bro. Like, you're jealous.
I mean, it does show the consequences of not, you know, sticking with your, you know, it's your tribe versus outsiders kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think his jealousy killed him. Like, fuck that guy.
Oh, absolutely. They didn't have, I don't think they were, it was never shown that they were lovers in that sense, you know?
Yeah.
So now, he died for nothing.
Now, when you say, you know, the whole tribe thing, I like how the entire town, like, came together. And
yes,
they may not know who was in danger, but they knew that whoever it was not like a bad person or whatever. Like, it was spread like, hey, somebody's in trouble, they're not a bad person. Like, they rallied together, and I thought that was really cool. And
yes,
it was tense, man. I liked it. I thought it was great.
That whole sequence is so, like, that was my favorite thing, just the passive resistance. You know,
yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Shown. And it was like psychological warfare,
yeah,
you
worked.
Know, and all that.
It
worked.
And here's the thing. I don't know if that would have worked on stormtroopers. I feel like that probably wouldn't have worked on the stormtroopers because they're trained military guys, whereas these guys are, you know, they're corpos. They're this is a job to them. Because you see it in their casual actions in the previous episodes when, like, they're eating food at the consoles, you know? They're like, oh, man, this is going to take all night. Why are you going to make me do this?
Yeah.
Like, them whining and complaining about their shitty desk duty that they've pulled. And it's like, this is your job, you know?
Yeah. The exchange with Luthen, I thought, was really great. Like, he clearly didn't have much intention of, like, coming for this box. And
no.
It was important. It wasn't, like, the important thing he wanted. Cassian was obviously much more important. And I thought that whole exchange, which we will get into in a little bit, I thought that was really good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Honestly, I had no notes of negativity for this episode at all.
No, this was a perfect end cap episode.
I how about this? I think the past, we got very little of the past, but I think that was to make up for having so much of it in the other two episodes. Maybe, I don't know.
I could see that.
Well, speaking of the past, We got some quotes. And the first quote that I picked a bunch of quotes here. I know we talked about them a little bit. The first quote was Marva saying, "I'm not leaving him to die," when she's grabbing him because the Republic is on their way. And so she's like, they're going to kill this kid. He killed these people, like one of them at least. We're gonna save him. I thought that was really cool. I think it showed how
that's interesting. Yeah.
Now obviously we don't have more on the story, but I kept thinking to myself, oh, she just like Luthen, she wants Cassian, but I don't think she saw potential in Cassian. In like, you know, like, oh, I want him for his quality that he's gonna be able to get this box. Like none of that shit.
She just saw a scared little boy.
Yeah. And so she was like, that's the cargo I want. She barely left with any other cargo. He was the cargo. He was the person to protect. I thought that was, mwah. Chef's kiss. The woman is great. I stand this Marva.
Yes.
Now, the next quote, I thought, encompassed everything that Cassian will become, as well as one of the reasons why the Empire falls. Would you agree?
I would agree, yes.
The quote is when Cassian is explaining how he got the box. He says, "They're so proud of themselves, they don't even care. They're so fat and satisfied, they can't imagine it, that someone like me would ever get inside their house, walk their floors, spit in their food, take their gear." And then Luthen says, "Their arrogance is remarkable, isn't it? They don't even think about us." The whole exchange, just great, brilliant. He understands.
Great writing.
Oh, God, it's brilliant. He understands the hubris of the Empire and how that's going to be its downfall. And I think Luthen the most understands this.
I would agree. Absolutely. He's like, look at this.
Well, I mean, look at like the Emperor, you know?
Yeah.
He thinks he's hot shit, and some random fuckboy from Tatooine blows up his Death Star. You know what I mean? Like, all
Skywalkers.
This stuff. Literally, bro. Like, that's the thing, though. Like, I'm gonna bring in the sequel trilogy real quick.
That's fine.
It's kind of like how in episode 8, when at that point, you know, Rey is no one, right? The hubris of the First Order is like, "You're fucking nobody, man. You're not anything to us." You mean, but like, she is obviously going to kick their ass. And like, I just keep seeing that in the baddies, you know, like a lot of them think they're such hot shit that they get this ego and then like a kid just or you know, a group of people that they think are beneath them just mess their shit up, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
And so, yeah, I think that quote, that whole exchange is really good.
It speaks to like, you know, if you listen to our Obi-Wan Kenobi episode, like you know, that's exactly what I've been saying about the Empire. Is like, if you want to out Empire an Imperial officer, you just got to act like the biggest dickhead in the room, and everyone else will bow down to you because it just seems like you have authority.
Yeah, exactly. And well, that's the other quote too, which is really funny to me. I thought this was a Luthen quote, and I thought it was a perfect iconic Star Wars quote. Because Cassian's like, "Why would I go anywhere with you?" And Luthen just goes, "Don't you want to go fight these bastards for real?" And I'm like, that's such like a Han Solo thing to say, man.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, hey, you know, when he's saying these bastards, he's not referring to the Empire. He's referring to the corporations, honestly.
Yes and no. I think he's just referring to authority.
Authority, yeah.
But also, they were talking about like the box at the point. So like, he was talking Empire-y. Like, how'd you get the box? And he's like, "Don't you want to fight these guys?" You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just authority in general, personally. But like, obviously, the Empire and these corpo fucked. Now that quote we said earlier about them being, you know, so proud and they can't fathom these people doing things like, you know, getting in their house and blah, blah, blah. So there's a quote right after this conversation from the sergeant, right? They're walking through the town. Everybody's banging on stuff. And it's the sergeant explaining to Karn what people are doing when they're banging, like, you know, the metal. What he says is, "Oh, just intimidation, sir. Bluff and bluster." This proves the point, what Cassian said earlier. They don't take anything beneath them in terms of these people that they see beneath them. They don't take them seriously. They don't realize how everyone right now is against them. They don't realize they're surrounded only until later. Like, he's just like, "Oh, this is bullshit. They're just trying to be intimidating." No, they're clearly banding together saying, "All right, get your shit together. Anybody who's ready to, like, you know, fight or whatever, or sabotage, start doing it. They're coming down the street, you know.
If you got illegal shit, hide it in your socks now."
Yep. Close the shop up, you know, get ready to fight, get ready to run. Like they are communicating just by banging fucking metal, man. They are using, and that's another little thing, they're kind of doing what Cassian did on his old planet, where they were using all this advanced gear, but, like, just kind of rudimentary, you know, ways of just, like, blow darts and that kind of shit. It's kind of similar. Like, they're just banging on fucking old pieces of spaceships, and they're just like, "Hey, everybody, you know." I thought there was all these parallels. It was really cool. But it really showed and reinforced that these guys are just, they don't get it.
No, they're not. They don't understand. Which, speaking of lessons, like, I love the lessons that Luthen lays down when they're escaping too, like, the, you know, rule one, never carry anything you don't control. Rule two, build your exit on the way in. It's like, this guy, you know, on-the-job training. We love on-the-job training, you know? He's learning things. He's teaching Cassian how to be a better spy than he already is, because we already know he's good. This is just making him better.
Yeah, I like the whole, like, teaching stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love me some Jedi teaching, but this was really cool to see, like,
practical skills being applied in the workplace.
Exactly. I thought it was really cool. Now, the last quote is from good old Marva. And this quote was when everybody was banging on shit and they stopped, right? So she's talking to the guards in the house and she's freaking them the fuck out. And I thought what she said was so badass.
Oh, yeah.
It was great, because she's just sitting there in her chair and the banging's going and these guys are looking out the window and they're kind of clearly looking a little nervous. And she goes, "You hear that? That's what a reckoning sounds like. You want it to stop, but it just keeps coming. It's when it stops is when you really want to fret." And then it fucking stops. Yep. And it was so badass.
And they run. They fucking shit themselves and run.
Bro, bone chilling. Especially when, like, it gets louder and louder and then just stops.
Yep.
And, dude, like, she gets it. You know what I mean? And that quote, too, when you think about it, it's kind of like the buildup of the resistance, right? It's almost, now I'm getting real into it right now, but philosophically and, like, cinematically and story-wise and all the different ways you could think about this. Think about how each little house here is a specific planet or a pocket of resistance, or, as the sergeant would say, you know, pocket of fermentation. And each one is banging. One person doing it is not a big deal, but all of them starting to resist like that, now you have a real uprising. And the reckoning is, you know, everybody's complaining and or trying to fight back or doing something, and then it stops and you're like, "Why did it just all of a sudden stop?" And then boom, explosions are going off. They're fucking killing people. Like, they're beating each other up. They're blowing up speeders. They're, you know, all these guys are dead. Boom. Like, that's it. That's the resistance right there. That's the metaphor for the resistance.
I love it. Yeah. No, the symbolism in this episode is really good. And it just shows the power that small voices could have when they speak as one.
Exactly. So I'm curious, do you have any questions about what happened or what we have coming up? I'm a little curious, because I know you watched the episode and texted me and you were like, "Holy shit."
Yeah, I think I, like, initial reaction, good, give me more. I think the only real question that I had is in terms of the timeline, because there's that quote, you know, I've said it every episode now, but I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. And that was a Confederacy of Independent Systems uniform patch, but then she calls them the Republic. So I'm wondering if this is like right before the Clone Wars starts. I'm wondering if this is like, these guys are Republic in that they, the, you know, the Confederacy doesn't exist yet. Because that's what I'm thinking. Like, if I'm thinking, you know, location and spacing and all that stuff, which is interesting, because that means that, you know, the fight for him began even before the Republic had split. So hopefully we'll get answers to that sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I want to know, like, who's Luthen? Like, what's his deal, man? Like, I want to know more about this guy, how he came to be who he is, all that. I want to just know his backstory.
Well, and you know, something interesting about Luthen is that the ship, in the subtitles, I think it even says, like, his ship is Kuati.
Dude, his ship is so fucking cool.
His ship is from the Kuat Drive Yards. That's an expensive ship. That is not Corellian. Like, they, you know, that's why everyone makes fun of the Millennium Falcon whenever they see it, is because the Millennium Falcon is a fucking cheap freighter.
Yeah.
It's like Lando turns it into a hot rod. Don't get me wrong. But Lando but Han, you know, it's a piece of shit by the time he's got it.
Yeah.
By the time we see it in A New Hope. So like his ship, this is the Kuat Drive Yards. Like they make Star Destroyers. They make like the good shit. So, you know, who is this guy?
Now, the other thing, too, I'm curious about, I want to know how this situation is going to affect Karn moving forward. And then, obviously, up through the ranks or anything like that. I want to know how this works. Because if he had just listened, all of these people would have survived. He basically killed all of his men. He killed all of them.
And his boss told him not to pursue this, so he's going to face a big-ass reprimand when he gets home.
And I really want to see this kick him in the ass. And I don't. I just don't think it's going to. I don't think he's going to learn anything.
I don't think he's going to learn from it. No, yeah, no, not at all.
I don't think he's going to learn. Now, I will say this. I think the Empire is going to take notice. Here's why. Because the box is still there. I think when they go to get the bodies, when they do all this stuff, they're going to obviously do an investigation in that room, find out, you know, if anybody survived, what were they talking about? You guys were on the rafters. What's this box? I think they're going to find the box. And then this is going to...
Because they talk about that thing's worth $40,000. Exactly. Or 40,000 credits on the black market. So this is a valuable piece of item. Like, we've been calling it the box the whole episode, but like this thing, this star drive, it's a data device that shows you the locations and ID tags of all Imperial ships in the system.
Yep.
And at the same time, whatever ship you've plugged it into, you can make that ship invisible to their boxes. This is an interface that relays like, hey, this is where our ships are in case someone gets in trouble. You could make your own ship invisible on their scanners. So, like, this is a very valuable piece of technology.
40 grand. Come on. I think it's way more than that. It's got to be way... Yeah. Well, he even says that's cheap.
Well, and remember in A New Hope, Han was going to charge them $10,000. And Luke says, I can almost buy my own ship for that. So we're talking about a very expensive piece of equipment.
Yeah, it's 40 grand non-US dollar. I also want to know, like, with this box thing. So I think that what's going to happen is the Empire is going to take notice because the box is going to be found. And I think Karn is probably going to contact them and be like, oh my God, look at this. He stole this box. He's going to use it to his advantage. And the reason why I don't think he's going to learn anything is because I think this situation and finding the box and all that shit is just going to reinforce in his own mind why Cassian is so dangerous.
That there's there's bigger forces at work here, even though it's just Cassian.
Even
got
though
lucky
it wasn't. Exactly.
It.
Now, the last thing is I hope Marva and B2 Emo don't suffer because of it, because I like them. I don't want them to have to deal with any bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with that. That would be terrible for their characters. It'd be good for TV, though, if she gets interrogated again. You know, because clearly she's very worldly in her experiences and travels. So I don't think a little interrogation is going to intimidate her like Karn thinks it will.
She's a badass.
She's so great.
So, final thoughts. What are you thinking?
I think that this episode hits the ground running and just keeps going. I think that the setup for it is fantastic. I mean, I feel like I'm going to be repeating myself here, but this is a great start to a show that I think Star Wars has needed for a long time.
I agree with that. I mean, Mandalorian, I think, was one of those types of things, but I think this is just in a different sector of story. If that makes sense.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Overall, I thought this was a solid and strong episode, like just episode alone. I think it was really well shot and everything. But I understand why the first three episodes were released like this, because it definitely felt like just a long movie cut into just a couple chunks. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it just felt like a mini series or just a movie that they were like, oh, this is, we don't want to cut any deleted scenes, so we're just going to leave it as is, you know? I'm really excited to see where this goes.
I am too.
I'm really pumped for this. This has got me really excited for more Star Wars. And with that, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter @lore_party. And send us those emails. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.